Hey, welcome to Intentional Living today. Dr. Randy Carlson here in the chair, ready to talk about marriage once again. Our phone lines have been open. We got callers ready to go. We'll get to those in a moment. If you have a story, it's something you want to say, hey, I got to get engaged in this and involved, you can share our comment line today at 888-888-1717. This is going to be a great half hour, very encouraging to help you build a marriage that God intends for you and your spouse. You ready? Let's get started.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are open, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kirk. Glad to be with you today. And by the way, I want to thank those of you who thought of us and prayed for us earlier in this week as we had our board meeting. We have a board meeting at least twice a year. Got some great people who serve on our board, volunteer their time, people who have expertise in various areas of life and business and ministry, who love the ministry of our radio network and Intentional Living, and just give their time to help guide us and direct us with so many important decisions to make. And so I want to thank our board and thank you for praying for us. We had a good couple of days of meetings. Today we're talking about marriage, big topic. When we think about the roots of our mission and ministry, we believe that if we can help marriages be intentional, we've helped a family, and that's what we're focusing on here today. Again, you're welcome to call with your comments on our comment line at 888-888-1717. Let's go to Helen, who's on the line in Florida. Hi there, Helen. Welcome to Intentional Living.
Hi. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be talking with you.
Thank you. What's your comment today?
Okay. I want to tell you that I was married for 53 years, and my husband passed a couple of years ago. Mm. But I want to tell you that what I learned as a secret to my marriage, and I don't want you to think I'm being insensitive to people. I've heard other people on there with adultery and different things, but I want you to know that I'm not being insensitive to them. I'm just telling you what happened to me.
That's what we want.
Well, okay. Well, in my marriage, I thought I was the right one. I thought I was doing all the right things. I thought I was being the wife I should be. And we were married about 12 years before we had our children. And this was quite a while before that we were going to go to a seminar. So I got the book early, and I said, oh, this is wonderful. This is going to change my husband. This is going to make him do all the right things and say all the right things and want to be here all the time. This is going to be great. I got the book, and after starting to read it just a little while, I wanted to throw it across the room. It said I needed to change, and I couldn't believe it. Why were they telling me to change? And then you read further in the book, and it says, do you pray for your husband every day? And I'm saying, no. Do you uplift him every day? No. Do you build him up and make him know that he's respected and loved? No, he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't treat me right. So the book's telling me all along, well, the secret is you need to change. You need to work on you. And I said, I just can't believe this. I'm going through all this. I'm expecting my husband to change. And it's me that's got to change. And that's when I realized it was me. And, like, one of the things, we didn't have serious problems, but, like, he wanted to go fishing a lot, and he wanted to go work on motors and different things. And, you know, that's what I said. It's him that's wrong. It's not me. I want to have a marriage. He's the one that's doing these things. And the book says, do you make him feel happy when he comes home? No. I'm mad because he went off, you know? And they said, you got to work on number one. You got to work on you. And that was the secret of my marriage.
Hey, listen, Helen, you are, I'll tell you what you're doing. You're doing a radio conference right here. This is a radio marriage conference, 53 years of marriage, now a widow. Her husband's gone on to be with the Lord. But I think every book needs to start with the fact that the only person that we can change is ourself. I call it the 3-foot rule. If you ever stand on one of those little round rugs, whenever I kind of like, you ever seen a TED Talk? One of these on, you know, on the online. It's kind of like they go out and they stand on a little 3-foot rug on the floor. That's about all I have control of, about as far as I can reach. And I think what happens, what you're saying, Helen, is we want to change the other person, read this book, go to this conference, change. And in the process, let's face it, the only person we can change is me. I can't change you. and I can't change my kids or my grandkids or my wife. And I think Helen's reminding us it begins with us. And so I think a great way to start today's program, as we hear these issues and talk through, if we begin by turning our eyeballs around, look inside, see ourselves, that's a great place to start. Okay, Helen, I want to thank you for your call.
Can I say one more thing?
I think so.
Okay, and I learned this as I changed, and I did it as unto the Lord. I saw the changes, just like that beautiful supernatural change comes. The change came in him, and he appreciated me and loved me more, and that made me want to be better, and it started that beautiful supernatural, godly change in our marriage.
Amen.
It really did. That's the secret to my marriage.
Amen. I'll tell you what, I'm going home, Helen. This is your show. This is now Intentional Living with Helen from Florida, because, you know, you said it. I think the whole program has been summarized. We start with ourselves. We get intentional with ourselves. I talk about declarations, making a declaration of what I intend to do. Listen, we judge ourselves by our intentions, and the fact is I judge you by my expectations. And intentions tend to always be good, right? That's why they call them good intentions. I mean, that's what they are, right? We all have good intentions. And as we know, good intentions litter the pathway to, well, you fill in the blank, right? We judge ourselves by our good intentions, but boy, I'm looking at you, my expectation. And what happens is that creates disappointment, disillusionment, and destructiveness in marriage. Helen, you and I are going to have to go on the road. I mean, we got, you know, you could be doing this. I mean, 53 years of marriage, you figured out how to make this work, and I think it's good stuff, and I hope you continue to share it with young women in your church and in your community there in Florida, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the radio. Glad to be here. That's good stuff. All right. We're going to get to some more calls. We're talking marriage today. You just got a $100 conference right there for free on the radio.
Imagine being able to say you've toured Washington, D.C. with Dr. Randy Carlson.
Hi, this is Dr. Randy. Donna and I are excited to vacation with you as we walk the paths of our founding fathers, discovering God's grace in bringing forth this great nation. We'll immerse ourselves in the heart of D.C., viewing historical sites and monuments, and taking in the documents and stories that have helped shape life as we know it. Plus, we'll spend an unforgettable day at the first ever museum dedicated solely to the Bible. And we'll enjoy a starlit dinner cruise along the Potomac.
And that's only a portion of the full itinerary for this amazing vacation. Check out all that's in store for you at TheIntentionalLife.com. That's TheIntentionalLife.com for Intentional Living's Washington, D.C. tour, October 10th through 16th.
That was his biggest complaint. You know, once I got my volume in tune, our fighting and arguing and even the nagging, I think, came way down. The part of my nagging that was so bad was that it escalated always into a knockdown, drag-out fight. My secret was that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit have a still, small voice, and it couldn't be heard because I was always talking, always nagging. And once I calmed that down and quieted myself, the Holy Spirit would convict him immediately, and I could see the change. And often it was literally within minutes. But as long as my jaws were going, nothing was changing.
All right. Hey, look, I like this. So far, we're taking responsibility, aren't we, for ourselves? You know, we all know that. I mean, by the time you get to adulthood, we all can pretty well articulate, well, I'm the only one who can change myself. It's not like that's a new idea. I don't share that. And people go, oh, I never thought of that. I mean, we kind of all know that, but that's what intentional living is all about. Intentional living is declaring your intention. The intention is I'm going to work on myself. And now for the next 30 days or the next period of time, I choose to put the focus on myself and not on changing my spouse. So it's not that we don't know this stuff as it is not being intentional in doing this stuff. And problems do create that need, don't they? All right. Looks like we got a call here coming in. Let's remain anonymous, which I understand. Welcome to the program, sir. Appreciate your call today.
Yes, doctor. Good afternoon.
Appreciate it. What's your question?
So I find myself right now in a very difficult situation. Long story short, I found out that my wife had an affair about 6 weeks ago. It when she had told me about it, because I had noticed that something was going on with her, and I confronted her, like, what's going on? She first initially told me that she couldn't be with me anymore because she had feelings for another man. We've been married for 7 years. We have a 3-year-old. I was heartbroken at the time.
Yes.
Well, I still am. But, you know, after the time has passed, she moved out. She went with her mom. And because the person that she had feelings or whatever just lives on the other side of the street of my neighborhood. I'm struggling now because, you know, I found out that it actually was sexual and that she's now torn because she expresses in a matter where she had to choose between both of us. And I feel so, you know, first of all, with who it was, so cheated and betrayed by both of them because this man was like a father figure to me. He's a lot older than us. And he's got his own story, but I don't know what to do with it at this point because I've gotten so close to God more than ever, and I understand what his grace and his love is now, because even after everything, I sat there when she was telling me more and more, and I told her, look, I'll learn to forgive you. Let's just get God way into this, and I'll get any professional help that we can get. I'll get anything we have to do, you know, let's work on this and let's not do this. And she's just so confused in her head. It's like a fairy tale going on in her head. Sure. And I did a lot of deep research and I kind of find out it's something called like limerence, something along those lines, where it's just, she's just so attached to him that she just needs to talk to him. She just needs to hear from him. And him from her. And I set the boundaries a couple of days ago. I told her, look, if we're going to work through this, you have to stop all communications if we're going to work through this. Mm-hmm. And right. She said, I can't. I just can't.
So she's out of the home now, and she's living with her mom, and she doesn't know what decision she's going to make. And you're broken. But I'll tell you what, you've said something very profound. Even now, the ashes of brokenness, the fact that you say, I'm closer to God than I've ever been, that this, you're not, it doesn't hear, I don't hear in your voice that you're allowing this to turn you sour towards your relationship with Christ or toward God, but drawing you closer to him and even closer toward making your marriage work in the future, if that's where it heads. And I certainly applaud that. Is your wife a Christian or claims to be a Christian?
Yes. And see, that's the funny thing is, you know, I grew up in church, but I stepped away, and the girl I fell in love with, you know, because we've been together 11 years, she's the one that actually brought me close to God. Mm. You know, I started going to her church, and I got baptized there, and everything was going great. And, you know, this is actually the second affair. I mean, she had an emotional affair at this previous church that we were going through, and I actually called approximately 5 years ago for some advice, and you gave me some advice.
That situation?
Yeah, advice at that situation where, you know, I put my foot down and I told her, we can't have this. You know, if you're going to be with me, you're going to be with me. And she responded and she said, okay, you know.
But didn't get to the real issues.
Yeah, and I think that's what happened is that I've always been a go-getter. At that time, I was working full-time, going to college full-time, and I guess she just needed attention. Yeah. And this time around, with our 3-year-old son, after he was born, she stayed at home, and I had to make up the difference in pay, so I was taking a lot of extra jobs and just working and working, and I thought we were doing great. We were doing the whole Dave Ramsey thing, and man, we were so close. We would have been scot-free even from our mortgage next year, and she just kind of blame shifted me where she said, look, you just weren't paying attention to me. And and he was. And I was like, oh my, I was just completely blindsided because, you know, I thought I was doing everything right. I thought I was, you know, my intentions were good for my family. I was saving for my son's college. I was taking care of her. I made sure that she was taken care of. And this is just something that I can't make sense of. And now with everybody that's around me and supporting me and spiritual counseling and professional counseling and everything, everybody says, look, if she doesn't want to, you really have all the biblical rights to divorce her.
Mm-hmm.
And at times I feel like I should, because she's just not responding. She just said that she can't stop. And I told her, look, if that's what you want, I love you enough that I'll have to let you go. But just know that the statistics speak for themselves. This is going to wear out and you're going to find yourself.
But see, right now, let me share a couple of things with you. One is, you're not going to be her counselor. You're not going to be the Holy Spirit. You're not going to be the one that convinces her by anything that you say. You need to just live your faith and very quietly and firmly. I mean, you're saying, hey, you're not going to be in a marriage with three people. But she's communicating even early on that there was different love languages going on here. You were speaking the love language, I'm taking care of my family, I'm providing for my family, I'm doing all the Dave Ramsey things to get out of debt and take care, which are good things to do, by the way. There's nothing wrong. Those are expressions of love. And I think many times we love somebody, and the love that we're communicating, because they speak a different love language, as our friend Gary Chapman says, it gets missed. So you're loving by doing, and you're paying the bills, and you're trying to get out of debt, and your wife is saying, hey, that's not my love language. You are showing her love, but you're showing a love and a language that's different than what she was receiving. That is not, by the way, that is not an excuse for having an affair. Okay? But it is a factor in terms of the vulnerability that is created. This has only been a week, I think, would you say, what, 6 weeks ago? You just learned recently here, so you're right in the crisis stage of this. And I would encourage a couple of things I would encourage you to do. One is, you've been clear with your wife that you love her and you want to make the marriage work, but you can't have three people in a marriage. I would encourage you to give her space. I wouldn't bug her. I wouldn't be on her case. I wouldn't be desperate. I wouldn't be saying, hey, we got to get into counseling. I'd give her the space because, as you said, she's confused. The Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. And I've seen it over the years. I've seen it. When a person gets deceived, that's what's happening. We get deceived. And I can almost guarantee you that she's going to wake up at some point here in a month, 2 months, 6 months and say, boy, was I deceived. You know, I was lost in this deception. And Satan, as the scripture says, is like a lion who's looking who he can devour. And I think that he always looks for the weak point. And many times the weak point can be something like a marriage or a relationship or a need not being met. And an emotional affair starts and then a physical affair. And then, of course, the challenges you're facing. So a couple things. Stay involved in your church. Get some men around you that can support you. Get good counseling for yourself. One thing I wouldn't do is I wouldn't quote, gossip this, get this out on so everybody starts to know. But I'll tell you, it's really difficult for people to put a marriage back together when all of a sudden everybody and their uncle knows about the problem. And that's a tendency sometimes, is to spread the bad news. And I would encourage you to keep it with the close friends that you have, or I'm talking about the counseling people who counsel with you, your pastor and so on, so you can get kind of support for you as you go through this process. And I was wondering, would it be okay if I prayed with you, for you and your wife, that God would use this moment in time for a complete, thorough, intentional restoration of your marriage, that the two of you would be able to restore it to 120%, not just 100%? Could I pray with you?
Yeah.
Lord, thank you for your mercy and your forgiveness. And I do pray for this caller today who wants to remain anonymous, and we understand that you'll give him just your grace and you'll give him peace, give him the men in his life to come along him, or alongside of him right now and counsel, encourage him, pray for him, the friends that will support him through the process. Pray for his wife, that the whatever the scales of deception are, that'll be just dropped, and that she'll see the truth, and as a result of that, that she will make the decisions that will honor you, honor her family, this child that she has, this marriage that she's in, that she would see the truth, and that the two of them as a result of this could restore and resurrect a marriage to an entirely new level of intimacy and closeness. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be praying for you, man. It sounds like you're going through a tough time. Do you have support for yourself?
Yeah. You know, I have a lot of good friends and family that are around me. And you touched on a subject that it was kind of unavoidable because the person that she is doing this with was actually a very close friend of mine. He was actually like a father figure. And his sons found out, and they were like my brothers. We're all the same age, and they haven't spoken to him. Mm. And their wives and everybody now, churches and everybody knows.
Yeah.
Because everybody is so shocked at how this happened, because the backdrop to his story is that he lost his wife about 4 months ago to cancer.
Mm.
And we were over there helping him and helping him cook and clean and everything, just trying to, you know, be good family, you know, even though we're not blood related. And I didn't think anything of it. I would never imagine that something would have grown out of something. Mm. Where my wife would go and, you know, wash his dishes and take him dishes of food or whatever. And I guess he took advantage of the situation and she fell for it.
Well, you can see the dynamic. Well, we're all vulnerable. Listen, there isn't one of us today. We hear that story and say, oh, that would never happen to me or my marriage. Or there's not a one of us today that would not be susceptible potentially for that kind of thing in one form or another. And the moment we get so proud to think that could never happen, you know, when the scripture says to us in Ephesians every day that we need to put on the armor, as it were, to prepare ourselves. It's a spiritual thing. It really is. We're going to be praying for you, man. I know that makes it more difficult, but I encourage you. You just stay solid. You stay firm. You keep walking, trusting Christ every day. And we'll be praying for you.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Tiffany. Yesterday's one thing was quite the theme with your program as well about my marriage, and I was able to ask the question to my husband after we had displayed affection towards each other if he was starved for affection, and we both agreed we were. And you read a poem about a wall that I started to realize that just having had our newborn now, we may have started to slowly creep it up, and before it got unbearable, we were able to talk through it, and I felt like the one thing I was able to do is to really listen, just to say thank you, because that one poem was able to help me through what will hopefully be changing for the better and for a happy marriage, so thanks.
Mm, you're welcome. We're glad to be here, and you know, it's because of our members that we can do this, and we're listener supported. That's how we operate, and we just trust God through those who support the ministry to allow us to do this. So we fell behind. We're behind halfway here through the year where we need to be, just frankly. And I just want to say thanks to those of you who have caught the vision. If you believe in this ministry and you have been impacted by it, your gift of whatever amount will make a difference. If you'll join us monthly, wow, that makes a big difference. That's intentional every month. $1 a day as in a suggestion, $30 a month or $50 a month. As you join as a monthly member, we're going to send you brand new CD teaching from me to you. And the one for this month is on 3 keys to a thriving marriage. And I really put my heart into this message to encourage you. 3 keys that I know are very basic and powerful for having a marriage that will thrive. It's our gift to you. Come and join us today. Your gift is appreciated. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Tony, I only have a minute or two, but welcome to our program. What's your question or comment?
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name's Tony, and I'm kind of taking your challenge to do the 30 days honoring my wife, praying for my wife, praying
good for
our
you.
Marriage. It was good hearing your program earlier, the parts that really hit home. we both kind of, we're a strong couple. We're very, very faithful couple, but we kind of lost track of all of that. And I know part of it is me for sure. So I wanted to take your challenge to recommit to my marriage and pray for our marriage.
Good for you. For those who didn't hear, I talked about intentional living is not just a good idea. It's a declaration. I declare intent. When you declare it intentionally, it gives you, there's a sense of confidence in there or something that happens when we say, hey, this is what I'm going to do for the next 30 days. It's a positive thing. So what's going on in your marriage? How can I pray for you?
We consider ourselves in a strong marriage. We get along. We're best friends. We work together. We work at our company together. But somewhere over the last month, we kind of forgot what was important and the fact that the other person's important. So definitely would like prayer that we don't make that misstep. We just continue to keep God at the center and respect each other and put the other person first, which is what we work really, really hard to do all the time. Sometimes we forget, we go off track, and God's very quick to remind us that we shouldn't forget. He's number one and in the center of our marriage. And, you know, after that, it's us. So
yeah, it's a good reminder.
Prayer for a reminder, just a continued reminder that what's important.
And I know working like I work with my wife, Donna works in the ministry. We've worked together over the years, and it's easy to fall into routine and taking each other for granted because you're just doing
absolutely.
It every day. Yeah. So, well, Tony, thank you for calling, and we'll be praying for you on your challenge, okay?
Thank you, and thank you for the program.
Glad to do it. I'd love to hear what your one thing is. Think about it. For the next 30 days, what one thing could you do in your marriage that'd make a difference? Not what they could do. You could think of that, right? A long list. One thing you could do. Tony says, hey, I'm going to pray for my marriage and for my spouse 30 days every day. You know, that'll change Tony's heart. He knows that, and it'll make a difference. And what's your one thing? You're welcome to share it. Tell us, what's that one thing you say? I intentionally choose, I declare for the next 30 days, here's my one thing for my marriage. Tell us on our comment line, 888-888-1717. Had a lot of other calls, a lot of things we wanted to get to, ran out of time, but that's fun. We'll be back next time as we continue to share with you more on what it means to live an intentional life in Christ. Thank you for sharing with us on today's program. I hope you guys have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time from Intentional Living.